Good morning and a very warm welcome to this live broadcast this morning from Sandown Church. We want to thank you for tuning in to us this morning, a cold, snowy morning, and you'll be glad you not have to venture out in the snow this morning. But we want to thank you for being a part of our congregation this morning, to our own congregation in Sandown, to the congregation in Donaghadee, and also to others who are tuning in with us this morning. We want to thank you, pray the Lord will bless us as we come around his word. I want you to take a copy of the scriptures just now. We're going to read from one of the Psalms. We're going to read from Psalm number 51. Psalm number 51. This is David's Psalm of repentance, his Psalm of confession. And we want to read some of these verses and then open in a word of prayer. Psalm 51 and the verse number 1, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We'll end there at verse 10, and we'll look to the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Let's just seek God's face in a word of prayer, and we encourage you to pray with us, even as you're gathered in your own home, and let's seek the Lord in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we come to thee this Lord's Day morning, thankful again for the opportunity that we have to come before thee. And Lord, we come to thee in our great hour of need. Lord, we need thee this morning. Lord, we realize, Lord, that we are poor and needy. And yet, O God, we thank thee that we have the promise that thou thinkest upon us. And so, Lord, we pray that you will be pleased to think upon us today for good. Lord, we pray that you'll speak to each one tuning in this morning. May thy word come with, Lord, power to all of our hearts. Lord, speak to us. We pray, Lord, you'll bless, Lord, the singing, the messages and song. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless the kids' message. Remember, O God, as we come around the word of God, Lord, we pray for your blessing upon each one. Remember, Lord, our congregation for good. We pray for all who are watching, all who are tuning in this morning. Watch over them all. We pray, Lord, that this time around the word of God will be owned and used of God. Lord, bless all the technology as well. Keep your hand upon the fellows, Lord, as they would run the broadcast this morning. And Lord, we pray that everything will be to the honor and to the glory of thy great name. So hear and answer prayer and be with us and give us help. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just now we're going to listen to the singing of the great hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. It's hymn number 138 in your hymn book. If you have a copy there at home, join along with the words as we listen to the singing of this hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Oh,
Trust you enjoyed the singing of that lovely hymn together. I want you to take the Word of God again, take your Bible. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Joel. The little book of Joel, about two-thirds of the way through the Old Testament, come to Daniel, Hosea, and then Joel. It's a short book, but it is a very solemn book. And we want to read the second chapter, part of the second chapter together, Joel chapter 2 this morning. Joel chapter 2, and we will read from the verse number 1. Joel chapter 2 and the verse number 1, and let's hear the word of the Lord. Joel chapter 2 verse 1 says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains, they shall leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one in his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Whoso knoweth, if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a great meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children. And those that suck the breasts, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, Where is their God?" Amen. We will end there at verse 17, and again we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Just at this stage, I want to again welcome all who have tuned in to our broadcast this morning. We welcome you in the Savior's name, and thank you for being with us this morning. Whether you're part of our congregation or tuning in from other places, you're very, very welcome this morning. Pray that the Lord will bless us. Trust you'll stay with us now for the rest of the broadcast. Kids Corner is coming up in just a moment's time. But let me just go through a few things that I want to bring to your attention. Do remember the broadcast again this evening, 6:30, and we are continuing in our testimony series on the Sunday evenings. Our brother Matthew McGill will be here to sing and also to testify this evening, and so we want you to be a part of the broadcast. Join in with us and tell others about that special testimony evening tonight at 6:30. The Explorers Club will be on live Facebook Live at 7 p.m. on Tuesday evening, and then at 8:15 on Tuesday evening. As a congregation, we'll have a time of prayer via Zoom. These have been very blessed times, and if you haven't tuned in as yet, then we encourage you to do so. The link will be sent out just shortly after 8 o'clock. So remember that Tuesday, 8:15, the time of prayer via Zoom. Then on Thursday evening, we're having our brother, the Reverend Malcolm Patterson, who is a missionary to Kenya, home at the moment, and he will be here on Thursday evening in the church to present his work and to present the call of God to Kenya and what the Lord is doing there in Kenya. So there'll be that special deputation meeting on Thursday evening. It'll be online through the various media channels at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. This Friday evening, we're having a special evening on Zoom as well to commemorate and to remember and reflect on the life of W.P. Nicholson, the man used of God to turn our province from ruin to revival. There will be a number of our ministers taking part in that special Zoom evening, the Reverend Biggs, the Reverend Stanley Barnes, the Reverend William McCrae, the Reverend Roger Higginson. Also, the Reverend Tom Shaw will be joining with us via Zoom as well. If you would like to be a part of that evening, then message me, let me know, and we can send you out the link for our own congregation. The link will be sent out as well on Friday evening around about 7:45. So, looking forward to that special evening of conversation and reflection with these men as they remember their own personal memories of Mr. Nicholson. Broadcast next Sunday, 11:30 and 6:30. I'll be here for both of those broadcasts. In the evening time, we have another testimony series, this time a fellow, Darren Bailey. Darren's from Portavogie. Tremendous testimony. Darren was born with severe disabilities and profound dumbness. And he lived his life, most of his life, without the Lord. And yet at the age of 30, after being given a Bible, he turned to the Lord. And so we want you to be a part of that special testimony series as we hear of what the Lord has done in Darren's life. So remember that. Do remember the sick of our congregation. Want you to continue to remember Rochelle Smart. As our congregation know, Rochelle was in hospital for an emergency operation this past week. I'm glad to report that she's back home again and pray that the recovery process for Rochelle will be swift. Also, do remember our sister Gillian Graham, our church organist, who had to have an emergency operation as well on Tuesday. And do pray for Gillian. She's home again as well, and pray the Lord will keep his hand upon her. Remember Stephen Friel's father, remember Janie's brother Martin, remember her mum as well, who is also ill at this time. Do also continue to remember Dr. Lindsay Wilson, who needs our prayers as well. So we come now to the Kids Corner video. So boys and girls, we want you to sit up. Make sure your mummies and daddies are sitting up well as we listen to another video, our brother Phil, and he's talking to us this morning about the Tato story, the bag of crisps. So, I trust you'll enjoy this video as we listen to it now.
Well, here we are, the famous home of Tato crisps. And these happen to be my favourite, the cheese and onion flavour crisps. I wonder, does anyone else like cheese and onion crisps? Are you getting hungry? Oh, I love these. Well, we're in Tandragee today. We're at the famous castle, and we're going to learn a few lessons today from these humble crisps that happen to be my favourites. I wonder if they're your favourites too. We've got something else with us today, and it's a humble, what is it? The humble spud. So we're going to see what we can learn from all of these things today. Are you ready? Here we go.
When I look through the gaps in the gate, I see the cool castle with its big chimney standing tall after almost 200 years. Castles were a place of protection in olden times from the enemy. When people were afraid, they would run inside these strong stone walls for safety. Perhaps this week you have been afraid. Maybe afraid or sad. No matter what, we can go to Jesus in prayer, and there we can find help and safety and peace. In the Bible, God's word, we read in Psalm 34 and verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." When I look at this packet of crisps, how do I know that what they taste like? Well, the answer is, we just need to rip them open and try them. Isn't that right? And taste them for ourselves. Only then do we realise how good they really are. Do you know, before we pray to God it's so important to know him first. The wrapper or the packet there gives me some clues as to how I can know the Lord is truly good. The first one is this. The black writing on the packet reminds me, for all have sinned. That's what the Bible says. That includes me. You know, sin is the things that I think, I say, and I do that displease God. So the Bible tells us we're all sinners. The second thing is the red writing, and it reminds me of his precious blood. As in love, the Lord Jesus died for sinners to take your punishment on the cross. The third one is the white on the packet. It points me to God's promise in Acts 16 and verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. When we pray, asking God to forgive us, he washes the black stains of sin away. No more do we need to worry about past sins, because Jesus has washed our dark hearts white as snow. And finally, the fourth one, the whole Tato packet is the colour yellow, that's right, and points to the place where God has prepared for all those who are saved. Where is that? Yes, it's heaven. The streets are of shining gold there. Yellow reminds me that they're made of pure gold, and Jesus' presence lights up that beautiful place. Let me ask you a question. Will you be there? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? If I asked you what's the main ingredient in crisps, well, you're going to tell me it's potatoes. Isn't that right? Well, did you know Tato got its name from the potato's nickname? Tato was what some folk called potatoes for short. The clue to what makes Tato crisps taste so much better than others is written in the back of the packet. Let's read it here. Here it is. In a special part of Tato Castle, our crisps are given their unique secret flavour. I actually know a guy who used to work on Tato, and this was his job, putting the secret flavouring on the crisps. When you met him, he just smelt like a packet of Tato crisps. You see, the flavour went with him. When a person trusts Jesus Christ, they have a unique secret flavour that goes with them each day to help them live for Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us to love others when it would be so easy to hate them. To be patient, waiting on something that we really want now. Galatians 5 and 22 tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and all of those things. When we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us as a Christian. So as you meet with friends at school or online, allow the Holy Spirit to help you follow God's word and show others the unique flavour that God has given you for God's glory.
So I trust you've enjoyed that message from Phil this morning, and we want to thank him again for putting that video together. Returning back to the book of Joel, the chapter number 2, Joel chapter 2. And this morning we continue our series that we started last Lord's Day morning on the greatest need in 21. And that was for a divine intervention. And we want to look at another aspect of revival this morning, and we will do that as we come to Joel chapter 2, and we will center our thoughts mostly upon verses 12 through to 17, although we will look at certain other verses as well. But we want to look this morning at the subject of the preparation for revival, the preparation for revival, and with the Word of God opened at that portion there in Joel chapter 2, can I ask you please to pray with us and pray for us now as we come to the Word of God. Let's just seek God in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for all that has taken place already, Lord, in this broadcast. We thank thee, Lord, for the hymns. We thank thee, Lord, for the message to the boys and girls. We ask, O God, now that as we would come around thy word, and as we, Lord, we look into the scriptures of truth, Lord, that you will solemnize, Lord, this word to our hearts. Still our hearts, we pray. Help us, O God, to concentrate on the word of God. Remove every distraction, we pray. And Lord, for this time now around the scriptures, we pray, Lord, that you be pleased to come and be our teacher. Instruct us, teach us, O God, we pray. And may we know, O God, the Lord is speaking with us, and may we hear the voice of the Lord. How much we need thee. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning, we pray. Lord, speak to this heart of mine. Lord, we pray that this morning we might not only hear thy word, but may we heed the word of God as well. And so, our Father, we pray that you'll bless. Give us help to preach. Give us help to hear. And Lord, may everything be to the honor and to the glory of thy great name. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. One Bible commentator has described the book of Joel as one of the most disturbing and heart-searching books of the Old Testament. Joel wrote his book against the backdrop of plagues and pestilences that had come upon the land of Judah. The country had become economically, politically, socially destroyed because of this plague, and especially the plague of locusts. If you turn back to the opening chapter of Joel, Joel chapter 1, and the verse number 2, the question is asked, has this been in your days, or even in the days of your father? In other words, they have seen nothing like this before. This was a very unusual event. Verse number 4 tells us, that which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten, and that which the canker worm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. It was a time of great distress in the land. There was so much destruction, and it had never been seen in the land of Judah before. You see, the situation that the nation faced at that time, as Joel is writing to them, was unprecedented. It was a time when the people had turned to idolatry. It was a time when the people had departed from the word of God. And it was a time when God had sent these plagues upon the land. And through these plagues, the locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the prophet Joel wanted to hear what the Lord had to say. And through him, he wanted the people to hear what God had to say. You know, this morning, in the midst of the plague, in the midst of the pestilence that the Lord has sent into this world, the Lord is speaking. Yes, the Lord is speaking to the world this morning, but I also believe very clearly that the Lord is speaking to his people. And he is seeking to get the attention of his people. And this morning he's speaking to his church. And as we consider these words of Joel this morning, I want us to hear very carefully what the Lord is saying. For Judah to enjoy blessing, for that destruction to be overcome, and for the land to get back on its feet again, there had to be a time of preparation in the hearts and the lives of the people. Remember, Joel is writing to God's people. You see, for us today to enjoy the blessings that the Lord would have for us, the blessing of revival, the outpouring of His Holy Spirit, as was promised even in the last chapter of the book of Joel, there had to be preparation, there had to be measures, there had to be actions that the people of God had to do. We long for revival, we pray for revival, we desire revival. But I believe that there are things that we as the people of God have to do in order to prepare our hearts and lives for revival. Now, what Joel is saying here, in the verses that we'll consider this morning, is very hard reading, very challenging words. But Joel doesn't try to paper over any cracks. Joel doesn't try to gloss over things or make things look good. He's honest. And he tells it as it is. And he tells it as the Lord has given to him. And as we continue in this series of The Greatest Need in 21, the subject of revival, I want us this morning then to look at the subject of the preparation for revival. Because in these verses this morning, I believe there's a very clear instruction that the Lord gives to His people as to what we must do, the actions that we need to take for us to experience revival. And I pray that this morning the Lord would search all of our hearts, that the Lord would speak to us. The Lord has certainly spoken to me as I have studied this message. And this morning we all need to hear from the Lord. This morning we all need to hear what the Lord is saying to us. And this morning there must be honesty before the Lord. And let's open our hearts and open our ears to hear what the Lord would say to His church today, because there are some very challenging words. I want you to notice first of all with me here that there is an exalted authority. An exalted authority. Before we look at any detail, the preparation that was required, I want you to notice here the authority of the one of whom is speaking. Now, Joel was a prophet. A prophet was a man who was appointed by God, called by God to be God's spokesman, to speak to the people, to bring a word to the people. But this morning, these are not the words of Joel. These are the words of God. The word of one who is above all and exalted above all, and the one with whom all authority rests. The one who is the Lord of His church. The one who is the King of His church. And so He is speaking this morning from that place of exalted authority. You know, whenever we are given commands and instructions from earthly leaders, their authority is limited. Most of the time, their authority is disregarded because they're just mere mortals like the rest of us. But you see, the one who's speaking here is the Almighty, all-powerful God of heaven. And as we go through this message this morning, I want you to see this is not my message. These are not my words to the church this morning. This is not what I think needs to be done. This is not what I think needs to happen in the lives of the people of God. These are God's words. These are words from the Lord Himself to His people. And this morning, if you claim to be a Christian, claim to be a member of the family of God, then these words are for you. They're for me. I'm thankful that the Lord comes with calm, soothing words when that is needed, but also the Lord comes with very sharp, piercing words. This is such a word this morning. You see, folks, if we are serious about revival, if we are serious about seeing the blessing of God and doing business with God, then there were things that had to take place. They needed, first of all, to hear what God was saying. And then they needed to heed. Notice the words of verse 12. Joel chapter 2 in the verse 12, it says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord." Notice that the word Lord there is in capital letters. There are different words used for the Lord. One word means master and sovereign. But whenever you read the word Lord and you see it in capital letters, it is a reference to one of the most sacred titles of God. It is a reference to the Jehovah God. The Jews viewed this title of the Lord, the Jehovah God, with such reverence and such respect that they wouldn't even pronounce it or speak it. In the original, there are no vowels in this word. In the original times when the Jews were speaking about the Lord, they never would have spoken His name, the Jehovah God, because they had such respect about the Jehovah God. You see, this is a title that expresses God in all of His fullness and who He really is. This is a title that encapsulates all of the nature of God, the sovereign God, the Creator God, but most especially the Holy God. Why is it important that this title is used here in the context of the rebuke and the warning that will be given? Because the Lord's reminding his people he's a holy God. He's reminding the people here that he is pure and their sin of rebellion is against a God who is pure and holy. And against the God of whose eyes are of pure eyes and to behold iniquity. You see, God was reminding the people that their sin of rebellion was wretched in his sight. But there's something glorious as well about this. That while the Lord is reminding the people through the use of this title that he is the holy God, he is the sovereign God, he is the creator God, he is the Jehovah God, there's also something merciful about this. That God would speak to his people at all. Here were the people who turned away from God. Here are people who had rejected the ways of God. Here were people who wanted nothing to do with God. And yet, here's the mercy. He still had an interest in them. He still had an interest in their situation. Their well-being was still his concern. And it is a mercy of the greatest magnitude that God would speak to his people despite their sin. We see something of the mercy of God at the end of verse 13. It says, he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. It was on the basis of the mercy of God and the grace of God that God spoke to these people. The God who is holy, the God who is just, could have turned his back on the people and let them wallow on in their sin. Let them go on in their rebellion. Let the land remain desolate and destroyed. But it's on the basis of the mercy of God that he speaks to them and issues this challenge to them. Why? Because you see, God wasn't finished with his people. And you know, I believe this morning, and I believe this with all my heart, that in 2021, God is still not finished with his church. And despite all the sins of the church, and they are many, God is not finished with his people. God still has an interest. God is still speaking to his people. We are his people. Remember that. We are in that covenant bond and relationship with him that can never be broken. Nothing can be done to break that. You see, this is his church. We are his people. He has a concern for his glory and for his people. And so we need to listen to what he would have to say to his church. Because these words today come with all the authority and all the power of heaven. And yet they come with all the mercy and grace of a pardoning God. You see, despite their departure, God wasn't giving up on his people. What a mercy. We survey the church of Jesus Christ today. I'm not talking about the world now. I'm not talking about the ungodly. I'm talking about the godly. We survey our own hearts. Thank God that even despite of our sins and our failures, and they are many, yet God hasn't given up on us. God hasn't given up on his church today. God still has an interest. God still wants to speak. And just as he wrote to those churches in Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Let's hear what the Lord would say to us today. There is an exalted authority. But I want you to see now that there is an essential activity. An essential activity. So we have seen how it is the Lord. It's the Jehovah God who is speaking here. It is the merciful God who is speaking here. To his people who have turned away from him, to a people who have turned to other gods, to a people who have turned to idolatry, what does he say? Look at verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me. with all your heart. As we think of this activity, I want you to see the substance of this activity. What is the Lord calling His people to do? Turn ye even to me with all your heart. Very simply, very succinctly, He is calling the people to repent. The message of God to His church and to His people was repent. You might say, is that not the message for the sinner? Is that not what the sinner needs to do? It certainly is. The sinner needs to repent of their sin, needs to turn away from their sin. But it's also a message to the church, to the people. Because as we live for God, we have that old nature, and so often it rises its head and we're caused to sin. That's what has happened now in the people of Judah. They've been caused to sin. They've been caused to turn away from God, and their activity is a sin in the sight of a holy God. And now He's calling the people to repent. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from your worldliness and your lack of praying. Turn away from your running after the word, the world. Turn away from your empty professions of faith. Turn away from playing at being a Christian. Turn away from it all and turn back to God. Repent. And that's the message I believe that the Lord would say to His church today. Repent and be done with your sin. Notice that this activity was not to be half-hearted. Turn ye even to me, verse 12, with all your heart. With all your heart. Just don't go a little of the way, but go the whole way. It was to be a complete and a total surrender to the Lord. It was to be a complete and total repentance and not holding anything back. Not wanting to give up a little of your sin and still continuing on with some of your sin. It was to be a wholesale repentance to God. Is that not what the church needs to do today? As we, of the people of God, have we not wandered from God? And our desires for Him are not what they used to be. We're running after the things that will pass away. And the Lord says to His church, repent, turn to me with all your heart. Don't give me just a little, give me your all. And today, this morning, in the start of another new year, it's time for the church to listen. It is time for the church to wake up. We have left our first love. We have lost the fire and the fervor for God that we once had. And I believe that more than ever, God is exposing the sin of His church. God is exposing the sin of His people. And God is calling the people to repent of that sin. That sin of pride. That sin of contentment, happy and at ease in your state of lukewarmness. Happy and at ease as people go to a lost hell. Coldness and barrenness. Just doing enough. Just enough to tick the boxes. Just enough to ease your conscience. Tune in to a broadcast 1 hour a week and that's enough God for you. The church today, sadly, is full of shallow Christians who don't want to be challenged about their way of life. Full of Christians who are happy and content to come to church for an hour or two on a Sunday and that's it. The plague of easy believism and late Christianity is ever more rampant today than before. God is calling His people to repent. Turn from your sin. Be done with your sin. Listen, you mightn't be bowing down before gods of wood or stone, but if you don't love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, then you're sinning against God. If God is not the Lord of your life, God is not the master of your life, then you are not in fellowship with the Lord. You might put on the show. It might look well. And you might say all the right words to all the right people, but your heart is far from God. God is calling his church today to repent, to turn from sin, to be done with sin. And I believe this is a very urgent message today. This is an essential message to the church of Jesus Christ. Lest he call his church, and let's make it personal, lest he call, we do not heed. Let's bring it into our own church, to our own denomination. 70 years ago, God was pleased to raise up this denomination. I believe today the Lord is calling his people to repent like never before. Lest the glory of God should depart from the church and Ichabod be written over its doorposts. That we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. We're happy to go through the motions. We're happy to do enough and just enough. God is calling his people to be done with sin and to live holy lives. Lives that are godly, lives that are pleasing to him. He commands his church to his people, be holy, for I am holy. He commands his people, be filled with the Spirit. And yet so many today are just tinkering around the edges of Christianity and think that's enough. And I'm not talking about the apostasy today. I'm talking about those who are in the evangelical church of Christ. Leonard Ravenhill got it right when he said that the New Testament church was married to poverty and prisons and persecution. But today the church is married to prosperity, personality, and popularity. You read through the life of the apostles and just, if you can, remember back to that series that we did last year on the life of the apostles. They had nothing of this world. They didn't have their fancy buildings to meet in. They didn't have all the luxuries that we enjoy today. They had nothing of this world, but they were men filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were men that turned the world upside down for God. Sadly, today the world is turning the church upside down. We need to repent. The Lord, I emphasize again, is not speaking to the world, to the ungodly. He's speaking to his people, and he says to his people today, turn ye even unto me with all your heart. Repent. Be done with sin. Search your hearts. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Live holy lives. People don't want to live holy lives today. People don't want to be out and out for the Lord. They think if they were to live holy lives that they would be miserable. You know, the holiest of people are the happiest of people. The Lord is speaking to his church, speaking in mercy, but also speaking in judgment. And listen, judgment must begin at the house of God. Spiritual temperature of the world outside is always a reflection of the spiritual temperature of the church. There's the substance of this activity. They were to turn. They were to repent. Perhaps the Lord has been challenging you about your way of life, about how you've been living your life, and you know things are not right. Today, repent. Get to God today. There's not only the substance of this activity, but I want you to see that there is the sincerity of this activity. Look at verse 13. It says, rend your heart and not your garments. He's saying, I don't want an outward show. I don't want an outward show. And he's speaking to people who were full of ceremony and full of ritual. And today there are churches full of rituals and ceremonies. People come and go from a house of God and they think that's enough. And they leave God at the front door as soon as they leave the church and forget about him the rest of the week. Now God's saying, I don't want your outward show. I want an inward confession. Rend your hearts. Your heart is what you are. You might put on the show, dress up in your garments, and think all is well. God says, rend your heart. That word rend means literally break, open your heart. This repentance, therefore, must be sincere. It must be genuine. It's not just enough about a form of words. It must be real. There must be brokenness today. We read in Psalm 51, Psalmist David, who after he had committed that awful sin with Bathsheba and orchestrated the murder of her husband Uriah, and after being challenged about that sin by the prophet Nathan, he uttered those words, cleanse me, create within me a new heart. He was broken before God. I wonder, does your sin break you today? This was not a time for playing at church. This was a time for reality. And in 2021, it's not a time for playing church anymore. It's a time for being real. This was not an outward show, but rather an inward sincerity. This was not a time either for finger pointing. Look what he says, rend your heart. Rend your heart. This was not a time for talking about others and what they needed to do. It was a time to realize what we need to do ourselves individually. Oh, all too often we can be guilty of pointing the finger at others. Oh, the apostate church, look what they're doing. The ecumenists, look what they're at, up to their necks in worldliness and wickedness. Not talking about the apostate church. We're not talking about the ecumenical church. We're talking here about the church of Jesus Christ, those who profess the name of Christ. Blood washed, blood bought. He says, rend your hearts. Not your garments. Let's start looking into our own hearts and search our own ways. There's the substance, the sincerity of this activity. But I want you as well to see here the scope. Verse 16, it says, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of his closet. This was a message for everybody. This was a message for the child. This was a message for the parents. This was a message for the people who sat in the pews. This was a message for the leaders of the church. This was for all. This was to be a wholesale repenting by all of the people to get back to God. And that's where we need to start today. All of the church confessing all of our sin and getting back to where we should be. There is an essential activity. We are to repent. We're to turn to God with all our hearts. You don't have time to look at the rest of verse 12, but it talks about fasting and weeping and with mourning. It's a state of utter hopelessness and helplessness before God and broken and contrite hearts. And praise God, a broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. Maybe the Lord has been challenging you. And you realize that the way you've been living for the Lord hasn't been how you should be. You've just been going through the motions and you're just happy doing the little that you do. May the Lord search your heart today. May the Lord break your heart. May the Lord turn all of our hearts back to God with repentance. There's an exalted authority. It's the Lord who's speaking to His church, to His people. There is an essential activity, repentance. But I want you to see as well, there is an earnest appeal. Notice in verse 17 that there is another step in this preparation. Having repented of their sin, having turned to God with all of their hearts, there's something more that they need to do. Look at verse 17. They need to pray. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say. There was to be earnest prayer. Not just praying for the sake of it. Not just saying a few words before they go to bed at night and thinking that'll be it. Bless this, bless that, and all the rest of it. That's fine. Touch those that are not well and heal those that are sick. That's fine. But folks, here was an earnest appeal for God to work. Notice the place of this appeal. Verse 17, it was between the porch and the altar. Speaking there of the temple. And that open space that was before the altar, and there the image of the sacrifice was ahead of them. The porch door was behind them, signifying their turning from the world and turning from the place of the flesh and facing the place of the sacrifice. That place that brings us to that other place, that place called Calvary. The sacrifice of the bloodshed, the way of the cross, it's about getting back to the cross and getting back to the sacrifice of Christ. I don't have time to develop this point, but I want you to know here that the Church of Jesus Christ must get back to the cross and back to the Christ of the cross. We must be done with all of our frivolous and silly ideas and notions. We need to get back to the cross and back to Christ. The message of the church today is Christ and His work on the cross. This place of the appeal, they faced the place of sacrifice, the altar. They faced the cross. They needed to see what their lives were about. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ my Lord. We can be taken up with so many things. We are to be taken up with the cross and taken up with Christ. Not only the place of this appeal, but there's also the petition. Do you know, as you read verse 17, the Lord gives them the very words to say. The Lord tells them the very act they need to do, the activity they need to be involved in, and then He gives them the very words to say in prayer. Look what He says. Let them say, verse 17, spare thy people, O Lord. It was an appeal for mercy. It was an appeal for pity. You see, this was an appeal for the Lord to hold back from His church that judgment that we deserved, His punishment. Save thy people. And no better prayer could we say from a broken, sincere heart than save thy people today, O Lord. Save thy people. Spare thy church. There is the petition. Notice as well, not only the place, the petition, but notice the posterity of this appeal. The verse continues, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach. See, he was appealing now for the posterity of the church, for those who would come on after, that the church of today were to be concerned about the church of tomorrow. I believe that what he's saying there, you need to pray for your young people. You need to pray for your young families. You need to pray that God would spare his people and spare his church, not just for the present, but also for the future. Pray for our young people. Pray for our young Christians. Pray for our young children. Pray for our young families. We need to pray for them, that God would revive his church today, that in the days ahead we might know days of greater blessing. Spare thy people. Give not thine heritage to reproach. But then there's the pain of this appeal. Look at the end of verse 17. It says that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is thy God? You see, this is not just a prayer book prayer. This is not some prayer with fluffy words and nice sentiments. This was an earnest prayer. Notice why there's an earnestness here. Notice why there's a pain here. Because of the reproach of the ungodly. Where is thy God? That's what the ungodly were saying. What is he saying? He's saying you should be concerned about the glory of God, the honor of God. You see, what's at stake here? It's not about the church. It's not about the name or the testimony of the church. And yes, we need to do what we can to safeguard that. It's about the honor of God. Not about the honor of a man or the honor of a people or the honor of a church or denomination. It's about the honor of the Lord. That's what's at stake today. And our great praying in revival in the Lord to spare his church, to spare his people, it is for his glory. It is that his name might be lifted high. What a simple yet solemn, sincere prayer. I suggest you today take the words of verse 17 and pray them from a broken heart and pray them until the Lord breaks your heart. Agonize over these words, Lord, spare thy people, refine thy people, revive thy people. Let me ask you as we close this morning, are you ready for revival? Am I ready for revival? Do we really surrender our hearts to the Lord? Do we really want to see revival? Because I tell you, when revival comes, it will change our lives unimaginable. Are we ready for God to work in us and then for God to work through us? Will we prepare today by repenting, by forsaking, by pleading, by uniting? And say, Lord, spare thy people. Church of Jesus Christ today needs to heed this message. We need to arise out of our slumber and out of our sleep. One day Napoleon ran his finger around a great country and he was talking to his generals. And as he ran his finger around the border of that country, he said, there lies a sleeping giant. Let it sleep. He said, because if that country ever awakens up and harnesses its manpower to all of its great natural power, it'll shake the world. Let it sleep. That country that Napoleon ran his finger around on the map was China, our biggest enemy, I believe, today. Napoleon was right, let it sleep, because if it ever awakens, it'll shake the world. It's shaking the world today. And the devil this morning is running his finger around, not a map, but around the Church of Jesus Christ. And he says, there's the Church of Jesus Christ, let it sleep. Church of Jesus Christ is asleep, but let it sleep. Because if it ever rediscovers the power of the God, the Holy Spirit, if it ever discovers the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, it'll shake the world, but let it sleep. Devil wants the Church of Jesus Christ to be asleep today. But the Lord says, oh, church, arise. Repent, return, rend your heart and not your garments. Get back to God. Get back to His Word. Be sold out for God. And let God revive His church again. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew that I may love what Thou dost love. Do what Thou wouldst do. Therefore, also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Are we ready for revival? Will we turn today? Will we repent of our sin? Will we get back to God? And will we pray to God like never before? Lord, spare Thy people. Don't give us over as a prey to our enemy. But spare Thy people. Revive Thy church. Revive my heart. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy Word. Realize, O God, the searchlight of Thy Word often comes with a very clear and pointed direction. And O God, we pray that as You have looked into our hearts today, O Heavenly Father, we pray that You be pleased to work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, not just to hear another message. Help us, Lord, not to hear another sermon, but, Lord, help us to rend our hearts, not our garments. Help us to turn on to the Lord. Help us to make that earnest appeal, Lord, spare Thy people. God, we cry to Thee, spare Thy people this morning, we pray. Revive Thy church. Lord, work in this heart of mine. Lord, change me, melt me, break me. Oh, may the Spirit of the living God fall afresh upon us. May You be pleased to do it today. May You be pleased to do it for Thy glory and for Thine honor alone. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.